All right, we're going to continue this morning our series called Making Change. And it's about making change in our financial life. And the first thing we think about is, you know, it sounds like self-help. And I like self-help, but I really like God's help more than I like self-help. Here's what I figured out about self-help. It lasts about a week and a half. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just back to the same old stuff. I read the book, I know what to do, and I didn't do it. So I've stopped leaning on me as much and started trying to lean on the Lord a little more heavily over the years. And when it comes to finances, it's not just a matter of saying, let me change some things. It's a matter of saying, what does God want? Let me do things God's way, and let me invite God into this process. The Bible is full of scriptures about money, about finances, and sometimes we overlook those. And even in church, we get a little nervous talking about money. Can I just be real honest with you? When we have a message series like this, and it's something we've prayed about, and we believe this is what God has for the direction of the church, I tighten up a little bit because I don't want somebody to walk out of here today and go, that church is just after our money, because it couldn't be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, we quit a long time ago receiving offering, like walking the aisles and passing out the plates, because we didn't want people to feel like this is a focal point, that money is a focal point. But it is an important point. It's not the focal point, but it is an important point. And so when we are talking about it, I just want us to understand this is all scriptural. This is what God, it doesn't matter what I think or what you think. The only questions we have to answer when it comes to our finances is, what does God think? What does God want from me? What does God want to do in me? And then just help me, Lord, to listen and obey you. So there are two ways that God blesses his children. One of those is stewardship. When God gives you something and you take care of it well, he blesses you with more stuff to take care of. All right, when you've been faithful, the Bible says, over a few things, I'll give you a lot more to take care of. That's what he said. I'm going to give you more responsibility. So when it comes to your job, if you're faithful and you're a good steward and you handle that job well, then God can trust you with another job, a better job, a higher paying job. God gives you a certain paycheck and you handle it well, he can trust you with a bigger paycheck, all right? It's not a matter of how much money it is. It's very simply what we're doing with what we have in the moment. So that's the first way God takes care of us and that blesses us, and that's what we talked about last Sunday. Today I want to talk about the other way that God blesses us as his children. Now, I'm talking to people who are saying, I'm a believer, I want to follow Christ to the fullest. The other way that God blesses us in our finances is through tithing. Tithing is a difficult subject oftentimes. It seems to be one of the last areas that we surrender to God when we start on our journey as a believer. We sometimes, we start trusting God in prayer, and we trust God by going to church, and we trust God by serving. We trust him with our salvation. We trust him in all kinds of ways, but to trust him in our finances with the attitude that I'm going to give what God has told me to give, sometimes it's hard for us. So I want to start this off real simple this morning. I want you just to take your wallet out. You don't have to do it really. Just you got scared for a second there. I saw some of you like, what's he doing? All right. Whew, now that we got that out of the way. What I want you to do, though, is hand your wallet to the person down the road that you haven't met yet and just let them get what they need out of there. Now, you would go, I'm sorry, is First Baptist started yet? Let me see if I can get down there. All right, or any other church, doesn't matter where. I just need to go somewhere else besides here. We wouldn't do that, all right? And God's not going to do that either. God's not going to reach in and force it on us. He wants us to walk in obedience to him. But tithing is sometimes difficult. I heard the story sometime back about the guy who died, and he showed up at the pearly gates of heaven, and St. Peter was there. And St. Peter said, we're so glad you're here. Follow me, and I'll take you to your new home. And the guy's, he's excited. I mean, he made it to heaven. You know, he's feeling pretty good about things. And he starts following St. Peter down the walk, down the road. And there's just mansion after mansion after mansion. It's just beautiful, and he's just excited about where he's going. And He just knows he's getting a great reward. And they pass all these mansions for an hour, just walking and taking it in. And finally, Simon Peter, or St. Peter, looks down at the end of the road and he points to the guy's house. And it's a little old wooden shack. It's run down, hasn't been painted in a long time. And he said, "Well, why don't I get one of these mansions?" And St. Peter said, "Look, buddy, we're doing the best we can with the money you sent us." All right? I mean, all right, we're gonna amen and go home on that one, all right? Listen, we got to give God something to work with. Now, listen, God's not, that's not the only thing God's thinking about, all right? The goal is to get to heaven. If I'm in a little shack in the corner, there's an old gospel song about that. I'm cool with that as long as I'm there, right? But when we're walking on planet Earth, we want to be blessed. We want to do this the way God wants to do this, wants us to do this. So the first way that God blesses us is through tithing. So what is tithing? Tithing is giving 10% of our income to God. And I know some of you just puckered up real tight on that, all right? 10% is a lot of money, okay? God, throughout Scripture, God gives us this plan to bring His blessings into our life. So it goes all the way back. Let's just look at a little bit of history of tithing. All the way back before the law of Moses, all right? Now, remember, the children of Israel, the Israelites, were in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And God set them free. He speaks to Moses, sets them free through a series of miracles. And then God starts to give the Israelites the law. God said, "Okay, you've been a slave in slavery for 400 years. You haven't needed to think on your own. But now I'm going to need you to think. I'm going to need you to learn. I'm going to need you to grow. There's some things I don't want you doing anymore." All right? So he gives them a very extensive list of rules and regulations. These are the things you're going to do. But long before he gave them the law, tithing was already a thing for the people of God. Abraham, 400 years before the law of Moses, was already tithing. Jacob, 300 years before the law, look what he said. Genesis 28, 22. "And this memorial pillar," it's a pile of rocks. He said, a lot of times when people wanted to remember something that happened in their life, where God really showed up in their life, they would pile up some rocks. And every time they passed it, it would be a memorial to what God had done. And he said, "And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me." Now that was hundreds of years before the law of Moses. Well, then there was the law of Moses. So this is during the law. This is Old Testament stuff. Look what he says here. Leviticus, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy." So God said everything, it was an agrarian, a farming society, and he said everything that is grown in the field, when the farmer goes out, a tenth of that is going to go back to God immediately, and there's really no questions asked. And then we move all the way, so we went before the law, during the law, the Old Testament, and then all the way into the New Testament. This is where some people get off track sometimes. People want to say, "Well, it's not a New Testament practice." I'm not sure. After I read you the scripture, I'm not sure how anybody could ever say tithing is not a New Testament practice. Luke 11, Jesus said, "What sorrow awaits you Pharisees?" Now he's talking to really, really religious people. He said, "What sorrow awaits you Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God." So let's stop there. He said, when you break herbs off the little plants in your garden, you're like, "Okay, I got to give this much to the Lord." And he said, "You are so focused on that, and you are doing that every day, but you ignore the bigger stuff, justice and love." He said, you're very legalistic. But man, I need you to take that up a notch. Tithing was just a baseline. Now he says, I need you to add some love and some justice to that. And then he said this, "You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." He was saying, look, I want you to tithe, and you should tithe on whatever the increase of your house is. Whatever comes into your house, you should tithe on that. But I really want you to focus on love and justice too. It's not just about legalism. God's not giving us a bunch of hoops to jump through. He's trying to get to our hearts. Because wherever our treasure is, our heart's going to be there, the Bible says. So he wants to make sure that our treasure's in him. So let's go through four things that I think will help us understand why we should tithe. Here's number one: everything I have belongs to God. Everything you have, including that wallet that you're like, I'm not handing it to anybody, all right? It all belongs to God. And God really, in Psalm 50, he really kind of gives us a funny scripture, if you ask me. He says this: if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. God's like, you ain't got nothing I want to eat. If I'm hungry, I ain't telling you, because it all belongs to me anyway. He said, why would I tell you when it all belongs to me? If you were visiting my house today and I got hungry, I wouldn't say, do you mind if I go to the kitchen and make myself a sandwich with the stuff I bought at the grocery store yesterday? That would be ridiculous. And God is saying the same thing. I don't need to ask you. It all belongs to me. I'm just giving God back a portion of what already belongs to him. Everything in my bank account belongs to God. Everything in your bank account, everything that has your name on it belongs to God. Everything that has my name on it belongs to God. Think of it this way. Let's say you went and picked up your six-year-old from school, and they had forgotten to take their lunch to school that day, and so they're just hungry. And so you're like, that's all right, I've already had lunch, so we'll just run by McDonald's and get you a Happy Meal. Now, before, you know, you high and mighty folks start looking down on us McDonald's people, a billion people a day eat there, so some of you are eating there, all right? All right. So you're sitting there at McDonald's, and your six-year-old is eating the cheeseburger, and they're eating the fries slowly, the most delicious fries. I mean, grandma can't compete with McDonald's fries. I don't care who your grandma is. All right, so they're eating the fries, and they're drinking it, and they're playing with the toy. And you're thinking, I'm not hungry, but man, those fries look good. I'm just going to have one. So you just reach up. You don't ask. And the reason you don't ask is why? You bought it. You're just letting them enjoy it. You didn't bring anything to this relationship. I'm giving everything. And so you reach over, and you pick the biggest fry out of the pile, because I'm just going to have one. And you start to eat that fry, and your six-year-old, yours, but you can think of somebody else's six-year-old. I know yours would never do this. They just pitch a fit. That's my fry. I can't believe you're eating my fry. And they do the whole thing. You got a choice. You either put the fry back and you save your dignity in McDonald's so you can go back again, or you eat the fry and deal with the kid. But either way, I hope you eat the fry and deal with the kids, what I hope happens, all right? So the point is, you bought it. It belongs to you. You're just letting them enjoy it because you love them so much. You just wanted to do something nice for them. You wanted them to enjoy this after school few minutes before you go home. And so you invested in this few minutes for them. And God is looking at you and me the same way. I love you so much that I want to invest in you these few years you're going to be on earth. But I got bigger stuff working than this. I got more stuff. It's called eternity. And I want to work in your life. And when we balk at God saying, I'd like a couple of fries back, and God has to decide how he's going to deal with us. I know it's going to get ugly here for a minute, all right? It's okay, though. You're going to love me. When we do that, we say, I'm not giving, I'm no way. We're throwing the fit that the six-year-old is throwing, except nobody can see us pitching the fit. It all belongs to God. If you gave me $1,000 in $100 bills today and you said, hey, I'm going out to wash the car and I just don't want to have this money in my pocket. Can you hold it while I go out there? And you come back and you say, can I get my money back? And you're like, sorry, man. It's my money now. Are you going to just let me get by with that? I hope not. I hope not. Some of us are doing God that way. God's like, here, I just want you to hold this for me. I got a purpose. I got a plan. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm doing something with you. I'm using your life. I'm blessing your life. I just have good things planned, but I just need you to be a good steward and give me back the part that I tell you to give me back. There were times when our kids were little where one of them was fighting. They were playing with a toy, and we told them, you have to share. Not because there wasn't enough toys to play with. It was a teaching moment. It was like, you got to learn to share. This is part of growing up. You're going to have to learn this. And when there was a problem, we had to deal with it. We go, okay, and then you got to go into parenting, which none of us know how to do, by the way. All right, so if you feel like a bad parent, it's okay. All right. When we are teaching our kids this stuff, we're teaching it for their future. And God's doing the same thing for you and me. He's developing us for our future. Here's number two. Why should I tithe? It's God's way of funding the ministry of the church. This all can't happen. This is very, very practical, all right? This can't happen without you and me giving back to our church. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. That was the place of worship. He said, I want you to give this back. You and I give, and it funds the ministry of the church. You gave the money to buy the projectors that are shining on the screen that you gave the money to buy, and you're sitting on a chair that you gave the money to buy. And if you don't mind, just leave it for next week. You know, we're going to need it again next week. It's us saying, I believe in this so much. I believe in the calling that God has on us. I believe that I want to be a part of this. This is God's plan. I want to do God's plan. Now, accountability is incredibly important. Accountability is so important in the church. It's important anywhere. And it's incredibly important in the church. That's why next Sunday after church, for everybody who is a member and is a tither, we're having our annual financial meeting. And so we'll look through all the financials, and you can ask any questions you want to ask. And that's for one reason, accountability. So if God chose this way to fund the church, then we need to be transparent, and we need to make sure that we are accountable to each other, that money is being spent in the right way. So that's happening next Sunday. Here's the third reason that God wants us to tithe. It's God's way of blessing us. Now, this is the part that gets fun. God wants to bless you. Malachi 3:10 says this, if you tithe, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. God said, look, if you'll do this my way, if you'll obey me in this, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Now, some of us are trying so hard to do things under our own power. We're trying so hard to get it done ourselves. At the end of the month, all we can do is think about what we can do. We're trying to do it on our own. We're providing for our families. We're paying bills. We're saving for retirement. We're all the stuff that we know we're supposed to do. And we're doing it under our ability with no blessing from God. Wouldn't it be awesome if we said, I really want to live under that open window of heaven. I really want that blessing. Let me do this God's way. What if we chose to say, let me do this for the way God says do it, and let him bless me instead of me having to figure it all out and do it all by myself all the time? And it can be done. People do it every day. But why in the world would we say, I'm going to do it my way, when God says, I got a better way. I don't need your money. I own it anyway. God says, I can take it anytime. But I'm going to let you keep it. I want to bless you, but you got to do this my way. I love the story about the young boy that went to the store with his mother, and the old fellow that was running the store, he slid a big jar of lollipops across the counter, and he said to the little boy while his mom was standing there, why don't you get you a handful of lollipops? And the little boy acted shy and he wouldn't get it. And finally, the store owner reached in and he grabbed a bunch of lollipops and he handed them to the little boy. And the little boy was smiling and he and his mom left and they were walking home with the groceries. And she said, "Why did you all of a sudden start acting so shy in there?" And he kind of sheepishly looked at her and says, "Mom, because his hands are bigger than mine." Yeah. Yeah. That's called working the system. Some of us are not working the system right. Some of us are standing there doing it our way, and God's trying to bless us, but we are so intent on our handfuls that we won't let God do it with his handfuls. He wants to use us, and he wants to help us, but we got to do this thing his way. Here's number four. It teaches us to have faith. Malachi 3:10 again says, "Try it," tithing. "Try it, put me to the test." Now listen, this is the only time that I know of in Scripture where God says, "Go ahead, test me." If God says that, you probably ought to take advantage of it because he ain't saying it again. It's not going to happen. But here he says, "I am so certain that this is the way I'm going to bless you. I'm going to let you test me. Go ahead and try it." God is trying to get our attention with this statement. He's trying to show us he has good things in store for us, but we need to realize it, and then we can release what we have into his care and let him open the windows of heaven. Tithing is about trust. Do I trust that God will do what he said? That really is the question, right? Do I trust God? God is asking us to trust him before we trust anything else, before we trust our own ability, before we trust our own knowledge, before we trust our own bank account. He's asking us to trust him. We show our trust in God by bringing him the first portion of what we're blessed with. God said to bring the first of our income to him. He called it first fruits. This concept of first fruits is throughout Scripture. And when we just talked about how that many of the people in the Old Testament were from a farming society. And so he gave them this imagery that when you are gathering your crop, whatever comes in first, bring that to God. He said the firstborn out of your flocks, the firstborn belongs to God. He said if he was really saying to them, "I need you to trust that I'm going to bless the rest of this crop. I need you to trust that I'm going to bless the rest of the life of your crop, of your herds, so that they will produce more lambs and you will have more to use for God's glory." But he's asking us to trust him with the first part. The Israelites saw these first fruits as an investment in their future. He said, "Let me give this back to God, and by doing so, I'm investing in the future." How many of us have invested in some sort of scam before? Somebody told us how much money they made, and we're like, "Well, I need to try that too." And $700 later, we're like, "I don't think that was a good idea. I wish I'd have kept that $700. We're not investing in something that's temporary. We're investing in God's permanent way of doing things. God told him that if they brought their first fruits to him, he would bless all that came afterward. That he would open the windows of heaven. And here's where it all comes together. Exodus 23:19 says this: "As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God." He said, bring the very best. Don't be bringing the leftovers. Bring the very best. And then Proverbs 3 says this: "Honor the Lord with your wealth." Can we stop there? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. It was a celebration, these first fruits. There was actually a festival time for this in Jewish culture. it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a time of mourning. Some of us write a check to God and we're like, oh, I need this so much. It was a time of celebration. Look what God's done for us. Look what God's going to do for us. Look where we've been and look where we are and look where we're going. It was a celebration. These fruits were about to be brought in. Their families were about to be taken care of and about to be blessed. It was celebrating what God was doing. This was so important to the Israelites. This was so important to them. Because God showed them this plan. Listen to what the scripture says. In Exodus 13, 14, and in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? And then you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. He said, one day when your children see you giving back to God, they're going to go, what in the world are you doing? Why, Dad, why would you give all of this on the first crop that we gathered this year? Why would you give all that back to God? Or Dad, why would you give the firstborn of all of our herds, why would you give that back to God? We could really use that. And the scripture says, you're going to tell them then. In that moment when you're giving, you're going to tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. He said, you're going to be able to say to them, look what God has done for us. We're going to celebrate. Amen. Go ahead. Let's honor him. There's no Egypt in your past, but there still might be some slavery and bondage. And when we say to our children, when they see us writing a tithe check, or they see us giving our tithe online, or however you choose to do that, and they say, why are you doing that? That's a lot of money. I remember the first time our kids saw it. It wasn't a lot of money, all right? But to a five-year-old or a six-year-old or an eight-year-old, that was just might as well have been $1 million. That's a lot of money, Dad. I got to say, let me tell you what God does for me when I do this. Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about my testimony. Let me tell you where God has brought us from. Let me tell you where I would be without God. And when I recognize all that God has done for me that I could never buy, that 10% of my income could never purchase, 100% of my income could never purchase, it makes it so much easier to go, let me give this back to God. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have any of this anyway. So he said, use it as an opportunity to teach your children the blessings of God. The blessings of God are the only reason we're here. So as we're walking through life, listen, you got to start where you are. You got to use what you can. All right, you're not starting 20 years from now. You're starting from today. I could tell you testimony after testimony of how the blessings of God, when someone started to tithe, not just in this church, every church has these. When somebody said, I'm going to start doing this. And they've been stuck in that dead-end job forever, and the windows of heaven opened and the new job just came rolling in. They've been stuck in debt and they started following God in obedience and the windows of heaven opened. And they're out of debt and they're walking in freedom. When they started walking in obedience to God, the windows of heaven opened. I don't know about you, but I want the windows of heaven open on my life. God's going to trust us with more as we are faithful in what he's already blessed us with. It's a testimony. It's a celebration. Look what God's done. Look what God has done. Look what God is doing in our lives. He said, when they see you following these guidelines, and you get to tell them, he brought us out of Egypt. He brought us to the promised land. We were slaves and now we're free. And you have a smile on your face because of the celebration that is happening. It's going to cause them to desire God and want God even more. That God would love us that much. that he would always, as the old preacher said, you ain't gonna never outgive God. You may give him 10%, but I'll guarantee you he'll give you 11. Somewhere down the road, that old car that was supposed to blink out on you 5 years ago and you're still driving it, and you add up all those 5 years of payments that you would have been making on that other car, and you realize, look what God did. Oh, I think the new car's coming. I think God wants to bless us, but he's got to teach us, and he's got to mold us, and he's got to develop our character along the way. But God never asks us to do something that he is not willing to do himself. And we're going to close with this scripture. God will never ask you or me to do something that he is not willing to do himself. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Remember, we said that God asked the Israelites to give the firstborn out of their flocks. Every time a new female mother, whatever the animal was, the livestock was, they were to give that firstborn back to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For you and me, we can't give more than him. He's already blessed us. He's already given us his Son. Our job is just to walk in obedience to him. I want you to stand with me if you would. Sometimes we get stuck in a place in our life, and we're looking for that one thing that will change something in our life. And I'm not telling you that if you start giving your tithe to the Lord that next week you're going to be a millionaire. I will tell you probably won't. All right, but man, I sure want the windows of heaven open on my life. I want to keep the windows open so whenever God is pouring out blessings, it's pouring on me. And I can tell you that God has blessed me. And it hasn't been all. I'm not going to be on the Forbes 400 this year, okay? I'm okay with that. But every time I've needed him, he's there. And he shows up. I encourage you to do this. Sit down with your children and let them see you give your tithe to the Lord. Let them see it. Make it a testimony moment where you say, this is why. Show them how much your house payment is. Show them how much your car payment is. Show them all of that stuff. Talk to them about it. Explain it to them. And then show them, look, this one right here, this is the first fruit. This is going to come before the house payment. This is going to come before the car payment. We're going to symbolically give this first because all the other stuff's going to be blessed when we do this God's way. Amen. Here's what I want us to do right now. I just want us to take a minute and just lift our hands to the Lord and just say, God, I'm just surrendering. You're not making promises about anything, about tithing or anything. It's just a surrender moment. Lord, I just want to be what you want me to be. Take me on the journey you want me on. Father, I just thank you so much, God. You've been so good to every one of us. You have just, Lord, you've been faithful. Lord, today we just want to surrender to you, God. Not just our financial lives, but Lord, we want to surrender our TV viewing, and we want to surrender our marriage, and we want to surrender our parenting, and we want everything, God. We want you to be in charge of all of it because we know when you're in charge of it, it works better. It's blessed. And we're asking you today, Lord, to help us start where we are and use what we have and do what we can starting right now in every area of our life, Lord, that we would take a next step, that we wouldn't get caught up feeling like we've arrived or that we don't have a next step. But Lord, you would show us and you would help us to move forward in our relationship with you. God, I pray right now your blessings on every person in this room, God. Lord, financial blessings. Lord, that you would give wisdom where wisdom will be the biggest blessing. That you would open doors for a new job where a new job would be the biggest blessing. That you would give knowledge in an area that will move that person forward in their life when that will be the biggest blessing. God, you know what we need better than we do. And we just ask you, Lord, to bless us. And we trust you and we thank you right now for what's coming. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I want to ask you to do this. Just the goal is not to surrender one area of our life to God. The goal is to surrender our whole lives to God. Everything. Whatever it is. It's not just, okay, I'm going to surrender this area of tithing and then I'm done. No. It's an everyday journey. It's an everyday journey. Sometimes you got to re-surrender. Sometimes we have a tendency to give something to God and then take it back. I'm going to do it my way for a little while. And then we have to go back and give it to him again. It's a journey. It's a journey. And as we grow, our lives become more and more and more surrendered to God to the point that our desire is just to obey him, just to be what he wants us to be, just to walk in his grace every day and let him use us for his glory. God's going to lead us. God's going to lead us, but we have to ask him and we have to do it when he does lead us. We got to trust him. If you don't know Christ, if you haven't started your relationship with Jesus today, around here we like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. Look around, there's a bunch of sinners here this morning. Everybody in the room has sinned, so that's easy to admit. We got to believe in Jesus, and we got to confess him as Lord of our lives. It means we take our first step in surrender to God. So if that's you and you're ready to start your journey with the Lord, I want you to pray that prayer in your own words and start your journey with him and let him take you where he wants you to go. Amen. If today is your first day here at Grace Point, we'd love to meet you across the hall in the meeting room. We have a little gift for you if it's your first day, and we just want to say thank you for coming. So stop by if you can. Father, use us this week for your glory, for your honor. Have your way in us, we pray, and we thank you for those open windows and those blessings in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here.